Okay.
Good morning, Sarah.
Morning, Dale. It
was years ago that I met Sarah Minnis, and I thought she was just another sales trainer. But I started reading and learning and studying and listening, and I found out she was a specialist in sales, in communication, in covering objections. She has been the co-founder of the BNI Fast Track system. She's a strategic partner with BNI, and she has done an outstanding job of getting the best information available from Dr. Ivan Meisner. She conducts seminars, workshops, coaching, and audio recording with BNI Networking Secrets. And her mission is to help people develop a life that works in a business that's successful. So help me welcome Sarah Minnis.
Okay, everybody, this is kind of a new way to do this, but I think it's kind of fun. So I told Gail, I think an important part for all BNI members to be successful, and actually for everyone that has a product or a service to sell, one of the really key elements is, in being successful, is effectively following up on the referral. And many, many, many times we get a referral, we're excited about it, and the first place that we sort of miss the wicket is on timing. There's a sweet spot on timing for referrals, and there's a time after the person in your chapter says to you, I know this person is looking forward to hearing from you. There's a window of right around a week where that door is much more open to you than it ever will be again. Very few people really get in the door at that time for a variety of reasons. So a little shortcut that you always keep that door open is to just make a point as soon as you get a referral, even if you know you can't see the person for a couple of weeks, call and contact them. And I know that Gail is going to send out the little card that I included in an email to him. And the reason it's on a card is that way you can take it with you or can download it to your phone. Most people don't have a consistent conversation they have when they call, which is why there's a suggested conversation on the card where you're going to acknowledge the referral and request a sales meeting. I'm not going to spend most of the time on that, but I want to point it out to you, and I want to encourage you to have something you say so conversationally that I could wake you up at midnight and say, tell me what you're going to say when you call a person to follow up on a referral and you get a voicemail. When you can have it that automatic inside you, I think the technical term is conversational rehearsal, then you can take time putting your actual personality into the request. So real quickly, I'm just going to go through it with you so you hear it once, and I only do that because I know that when you hear something once, it's like a little download in your circuitry. It sets it up for you to be able to do it more easily next time. And although many of us have been trained that it's our personality and our enthusiasm that creates a successful follow-up or sale, it's actually professionalism. People have a lot of judgments about personality and enthusiasm, but rarely any judgment about professionalism. So the quick follow-up conversation, whether you get a voicemail or not, is, hi, this is Sarah Minnis. I was referred to you by Gail Stolzenberg last evening, and what I want to do, even though we may not get together right away, is schedule some time so that I can meet with you, find out what you're doing for training, and see if there's a fit. It will take about 35 minutes. Would that work for you? And maybe a Tuesday or a Thursday afternoon. That little conversation sets the follow-up, puts you in place as a professional, tells them what you want to do in the meeting, which is comforting. You want to find out about them, tell them a little bit about you, and see if there's a fit. Those little three phrases together are the structure for the sales call. When you offer two times, I know there's a lot of assumptive sales training out there. How would Tuesday at 2 p.m. work? Well, you're kind of sunk if they say it won't. When you say Tuesday or Thursday, maybe 4, you've opened the conversation for deciding what time works instead of having to come back after a cold no. So that's the quick little follow-up. I would really encourage you to get it down so that you own it and then you say it like you would say it. And remember the sweet spot. 24, 36, 48 hours, you're really golden. After that, they feel you probably don't care as much, and then they don't care as much. Now, the next part, which is fun, is what do you really say when you're following up and you're on a brace yourself sales call? Most of us have some things we like to do, and a lot of us spend quite a bit of time on the front end in a social conversation, usually about weather, possibly politics, sometimes sports. And then we do this odd thing. We say, well, you know what I'm really here for? Nobody thinks we're there to really discuss weather or politics or sports. For most of us, that little informal conversation is really us getting comfortable. So if you can imagine yourself, notice what you do, that's an area that you really don't have to do, because most people, when they're in an appointment with another person, would rather get down to business. So when you get down to business, then it's always the thing about, well, what do I do? Do I tell them what I do? Do I ask them questions? You know, what questions do I ask them? And there is a lot of information where you can end up asking 25, 30 questions, and very rarely does anybody use any of the information they gain from asking the questions. It's really, once again, more about we really need to do something, but we're not sure what to do. So now I want to introduce you to 3 simple steps, and I have trained these with Wall Street people, I've trained them with Fortune 500 companies, I've trained them with B&I people, and this is actually what I use. And I want to go through the questions, there's only 3, I want to tell you why they're important, and then I'll do a really quick run through so you see how it really works. We'll record this call, and I know for you people that are at the Chapter Success Forum, you'll get the audio, and more information and examples are on the audio. So when you start your meeting, always nice to let people have a choice about what's going to go on. So I usually say something like, you know, when we set up this appointment, I said it would still take about 35 minutes. Does that work? Number one, it's polite. Number two, there are times where people go, no, I've only got 10 minutes. Let's have everybody put themselves on mute, okay? Can everybody mute except me? Star 6? Cut down on the background a little, maybe? Okay. Okay. I'll wait just a second. So once you get... I'll wait because I see you muted. Once you get that out of the way, like, do we still have adequate time? And my recommendation would be never settle for 10 or 15 minutes. If what you offer is valuable, and more importantly, you are valuable, 10 or 15 minutes rarely will do the job. Then it's nice to say what I said I wanted to do on the phone is find out a little bit about you. I'll tell you then a little bit about how I work, and we'll see if there's a fit. So let me ask you, and this is the first question, what's important to you about training? And not what do you like, what do you want, what are you looking for, but what's important to you about training? I really want you to listen to the examples on the audio. This is actually a question that goes, it's a neurological probe, and it goes to the highest criteria value people have about the particular topic you're asking about. So it's kind of a technical explanation. Think of file folders in a person's brain. When you say what's important to you about, you open the file folder for that area. And once that file folder is open, and let's say they say that it's cost effective, that it's easy to deploy, and that it has longevity. Very rarely will people have more than two or three big general answers to that question. So your job is not to interpret or get excited and say, that's exactly what I do, or I knew it. Your job is simply, if you can, a lot of people here are going to go, I could never do that. Repeat it back like a confirmation. So cost-effective, longevity, I don't remember the third one right now, but cost-effective and longevity are things you're really interested in. If you want more information about either one of those, simply say, let's get a little more information. What do you mean, what's important about longevity? Use that same question to take a little deeper dive till you feel you have enough information that you have a general understanding about what they're looking for. In having used this for, way over 20 years and taught it to lots of people, this takes away all of the conversation about hot buttons. This takes away all of the fear, uncertainty, and doubt statements. This really allows you to be on the other side of the table looking out at what you do through the eyes of your customer. The other important part about it is these values do not change over time. So whatever the ones are that you start with, they will be the ones that you end with. And this is true whether you're selling high-end insurance, train the same thing to shampoo distributors. It's a basic platform for getting their values for buying your product. So you write that down. It's going to be important. You only have two more questions. One is, what is working for you right now with this? So in this example, what are you doing right now for training? Or what are you doing right now for insurance? Or what are you doing right now for shampoo? You want to find out what they're doing and find out what's important about that, because that's the element that you are going to need to replace. So whatever you're going to be doing has to include that element. So in this example, if I said, you know, what's working for you right now in terms of training? What are you doing? And maybe they go, we have online training and we have specialist coaches. Online training and specialist coaches, what's important about that? Well, I think it's a good duo between they can work on their own and yet they can get the personal touch. So I know then in training, the big umbrellas going back are cost effective and longevity. What I need to be able to say I can do or replace is online and coaching so that they can work alone and have a personal touch. And then here is the third question and the little hidden element. You want to find out what's not working, because that's going to be your leverage point. So in that case, it's as simple as to go, now the third thing I'd like to know, before I tell you a little bit about what I do, is what isn't working right now for you? What would you like different? And that is where you will have the competitive advantage. So in this example, maybe they say, you know, we can't get our specialist coaches everywhere in time enough, and we're having trouble creating enough coaches to help everybody. So I listen to that, and then I go, well, let me tell you a little bit about how I work. And this is where you take the information from those three questions, and you use it like an envelope for whatever it is that you do, and you put the most emphasis on what you can do that changes what isn't working for them. So it might sound like this. So, you know, we have been in the training business for a long time, and we're very interested in cost-effective training with longevity, because training's expensive. I've got the first big umbrella laid over what I do. And I'm very familiar in really think the combination of online with specialty coaches has a lot of value. And I've worked at a lot of places where they do that. Here comes the answer to the third question, which is, you know, one of the things I've noticed is what you brought up, which is the quality of the specialty coaching is critical for the success, and often they're hard to find. What we provide is we don't expect you to find those. We provide those for you as part of the package, and we're able to do that through a variety of remote systems where we can actually be in touch more frequently than a lot of times people who are located in the area can do. Would it be okay if I went ahead and showed you a couple of those solutions? So you take everything that you've gathered from their viewpoint and use it to position your solution. So when you're ready to say, is it okay to go ahead and look at that, you have covered all the bases for them. Then it's really hard for people to go, no, I don't want to do that. Then you can have a much more in-depth discussion. And I think even depending on what it is you sell, a lot of people believe I really have to get the price of everything in one meeting. Resistance is an interesting thing. We all have it. We have it even when we know we want to buy something. So when you can actually, even if you want to ballpark it, fine. But when you can extend it two times, and this depends on your price point, or three times, the resistance to the sale price will wear down a little more naturally, and you will have far less price objections by stretching it out over time. So real quickly, this is usually like a 3 or 4 hour little seminar time to talk, but I think you can get the elements of it, and I'll be happy to talk to anyone about it because it works in any industry. Be sure to follow up in that sweet spot, 24, 36, 48 hours. You don't have to do the face-to-face, but you do need to do the follow-up and make a time. It's our job when we're following up to keep following up till we make contact. A lot of people go, well, they never called me back. Most people will not call you back, not for any reason other than lives are busy, and really that responsibility is yours or ours when we're selling. Then when you have the meeting, just open the meeting with making sure the time is still okay. Resetting the agenda, like to find out what you're currently doing, tell you a little bit about what I do, see if there's a fit, then go into those three questions. Those three questions set the parameter for you to discuss your services, and if possible, either do one follow-up or two follow-ups, but don't let it string out too long, and that will reduce all the price concerns and the resistance so that it won't be quite as much as it would be if you tried to handle it all in one call. So I don't know about my time, Gail, if we have more time or this is good for questions. Why don't you tell me? Gail?
Sarah, we got time for a couple of quick questions. So someone that wants to ask a question needs to unmute themselves and then ask you, okay?
Yes. So any questions? Very quiet. You know, this is, you look at the card and listen to the audio, and if you are also a BNI member who has employees and the employees need to go out and represent you, this is a great, easy conversation for a new employee. The reason I wanted to really do this is when we look at, you know, the number of referrals that are made versus the number of referrals that are closed, a significant part of the time, the actual follow-up is an issue, either in terms of the timing or the quality of the follow-up. So that's a, you know, getting the referral is probably 50 to 75%, but closing the referral is the other part. So any questions here?
Got a question. Go ahead. Just talk your phone.
Gail?
He's getting his
I have one question.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So in the third question, you say when we ask what isn't working for you right now, and the prospect says we are happy with what we have and we don't really have any issues, how do you go forward continuing with the conversation?
Okay. Great question, by the way. Really great. If you have actually done a really good conversation about the other elements, it would be difficult for that person to say that. But if they would say that, you know, I would say, that has never happened to me. I know it has happened to about 7 people that called me after courses. I would say, well, let's not look at it that way. Let's look at it, if you could add anything to what you're already really happy with, what would that be? Do you see how that's different?
Yeah.
Okay. You, though, have to have the internal comfort to accept that and say, well, let me just look at it another way so I'm sure I really understand you. You know, maybe if you could add anything, what would it be? You need to have the comfort to do that. I believe that when anybody accepts an appointment to meet, a part of them is committed to buying. Maybe not from you, but we really don't accept meetings, even as favors, when a part of us isn't at least a little bit interested in what that person has to say. Make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Well, great advice, Sarah. We appreciate your sharing that information with us, and when I get the recording from you, I will share it with each one of the attend success forums.
Okay. And you know, Gail can give you my number after we hang up today. A lot of times it's really hard to ask about sales questions in a group. I know that. So if you have any questions you thought, geez, I think this could kind of work, but I'm not sure about this, you can always text or call me and we can set up a time and work through it. Because it's really nice to work through it a couple of times, first where you're actually the customer and the second where you're the salesperson. And that closes all the little loopholes. Okay?
Sounds great, Sarah, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Thursday morning at 10 a.m.
That's right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.